come together for this short time just to share our respect for the life and precious memory of Ian George McKinstry, known to us all as Rocco, and that's the name that the family want me to use today. Born 17th of April 1972, died on the 17th of December 2022, aged 50. On behalf of the family, thank you so much for coming today. This is such a shock to us all, still hard to take in, but your presence is so much appreciated. It's a real privilege for me to conduct this service, and I want to thank the family for asking me to do so. The family invite you for refreshments after the service in the church hall, and the committal service will be at Drumore New Cemetery at around 12:45. This is such a tough time, difficult day. Our hearts are sore, grief is great, because Rocco was loved by so many people, even just to see this crowd here today. And I know how much the family have appreciated the home visits, the telephone calls, the cards, and the text messages. And I know that the family have known God's help at this time, and have appreciated all who have been praying for them. The family also want to thank First Drumara Presbyterian Church here and the minister, Scott Burr, in the session for the use of the church this morning. The family also want me to thank Brian Poots, the funeral directors, for their professionalism and for their help over these difficult days, and our friend here for playing the organ. The family also want me to thank the medical staff at the Royal Victoria Hospital who looked after Rocco over the weekend. Folks, where can we turn in a time like this? Only the Lord Jesus Christ can comfort us in the midst of sorrow. Only the Lord Jesus can give us the strength to carry on and to help us and to help this precious family day by day. Peter reminds us that we can cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you. Isaiah tells us, speaking of the Saviour, that he is despised, rejected of men. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Solomon tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and they are saved. The Lord Jesus knows all about sorrow. I want to pass on my sympathy to the family today, to Rocco's wife Jenny, to his daughters Lydia, Kimberly, Leah, Bethany, his mother Rachel, his son-in-law Colin, his little grandson George, siblings David, Philip, Thomas, Andrea, Matthew, Aaron, and Samuel, and also his father-in-law, his mother-in-law Ian and Aris, and his brother-in-law and sister-in-law Marty and Jill. Today we also make mention of his late father Billy. Many of you have special memories of his life. We think of the wider family circle and close friends. We also think of family abroad that can't be with us this morning. I want the family to be assured of my prayers in the days that lie ahead. We're now going to stand for our opening hymn there, your order of service, which is one of Rocco's favourites, the Victory in Jesus, My Saviour Forever. And then after we sing this hymn, we're pleased to have Pastor Ken Davison with us this morning, the pastor of Christ Encounter Tabernacle in Guildford, who is a friend of Rocco, who is a friend of the family. And we appreciate Ken being here with our service in prayer. So standing to sing then after the introduction, Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever. Thank you. Let's stand.
I'm Pastor Ken, lovely to have you with us this morning.
Our service in the Word of Prayer. And after that, Rocco's brother, Pastor Tommy McKinstry, is going to come and say a few words about Rocco. Thank you.
I just say on behalf of my own wife, myself, and my family and our church that we all know Rocco, and we knew him as a great character, and he had a wonderful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a good friend, and he will be sorely and sadly and very much. And can I just assure the McKinstry family and the family circle, he will constantly be in our prayers. That is what. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we thank you for this opening hymn that Rocco loved. And Father, because of the saving grace that reached down to touch him and to draw him in the day and hour in which he gave his life to Christ, in which he was born again of your Spirit and washed by faith in the precious blood of the Lamb. Well, thank you, Father, that Rocco could say he has victory in Jesus. We thank you, Father, today that this is not the end, but rather it's absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We thank you, Lord, today that we can say in victory that Rocco is with Christ, which is far better. Lord, we thank you for his witness. We thank you for his testimony. We thank you, Lord, for the big character that he had and that you gave him, but which he used for your honour and the glory and the exaltation and the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for every remembrance of him. And we thank you, Lord, for his friendship. We thank you, Lord, for everything, Lord, that he has done and accomplished for the glory of God. And Lord, we believe that even as it's written, Lord, on the order of service, you'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, and to thy end of the joy of thy Lord. Father, this morning we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus through the merit of his blood and in his righteousness alone as a group and a company, a congregation of people. And Father, we come bringing a grieving family before you. We don't pray for Rocco, for he's in your presence. We don't pray for him, Lord, for he is with you. But we pray for those who are left behind. And we ask you, Father, that you would minister your blessed Spirit into their heart and into their life this very morning. For the days and the hours that lie ahead, Lord, when times go quiet, Lord, when there's a weariness among them, and Lord, when there's a loneliness, and Lord, when a seat is empty, Lord, and hearts are breaking, and people are missing, Lord, we ask you, Father, that you would draw close and draw near, and Lord, that you would comfort, that you would bless, and you would help. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you say, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, you are the only comforter. You're the great comforter. And we thank you, Lord, you're the one who could comfort every broken heart this very morning. So, Father, draw near to the family. They've all been mentioned, Lord, and all these names. And there's so many more. Family and friends and close ones and relatives and those who knew them and loved Rocco. We pray you draw close to them in here. And now, Father, we pray for the remainder of this service as we, Lord, have time, Lord, to remember Rocco and his life, Lord. But Lord, as we gather around your word, Lord, we pray, Lord, for John, that you would mightily anoint him with your Spirit. And Lord, that you would give ears to hear and hearts to be opened, Lord, to what would go forth this very morning, to the glory and to the exaltation of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless and encourage. Draw close and draw near, and may word have free course and your Spirit move from seat to seat and heart to heart to the glory of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Ken. Tom's going to come now and just share a few words about God.
I'd like to thank everyone that's come on behalf of the whole family, Sister Jenny and my own family. The Lord bless you, and I appreciate Pastor Scott. letting us have the church here. I appreciate Brother John and Brother Ken and everyone that's come. But you know, Rock wouldn't want no gloom and gloom today. That's one thing about him, he was the life and soul of the whole thing. And you know, we never would have got two words in. If Rock was about, he would have done to do the talking. And that's the way he was. And you know, Rock was born into a family of seven fellas. And one girl, and Rock used to joke about a fly landed, it was an argument. Who got a win? And he's a real carry on, you know. And he was mad about lifting weights. And my dad, that was really my dad's fault, really, because my dad lifted weights and messed about with weights. And then Rock started the weights, and Desi Neal actually trained Rock for a junior Ireland competition at 17 years of age, although he never entered it. It was bodybuilding, and then he went from that to more the strong man, and he met Big Glenn here, and him and Glenn was big mates. And he used to help Glenn out going to the different things, setting up the competitions. And he was clean mad about the weightlifting. And you know, as he grew up, he was a wild young fella. And I was wild myself, but the Lord got a hold of me in High Bank Jail in 1989. I gave my life to Christ. And I met Rock one night round the mills with all his pals. They were drinking. And I smashed the drink of the walls. And I preached to them that Christ loved them. And I told him, Rock, I've claimed you. And you're going to be the Lord's. And he said, you've not claimed me. And I said, well, I've claimed you, and that's it. The Lord's going to get a hold of you. And in 1991, in my front bedroom in Menfold Park, in my mother's house, me and Rock knelt down at the bed. And Rock gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he never looked back. He was rough and ready, but that's the way God made him. You know, some Christians are that holy and they're that sanctimonious. You know, they can hardly open their mouth for the Lord, but Rock wasn't like that. He was rough and ready, but God used him. And God wants us to be what we are, not to be somebody else. And I just thank the Lord for Rock, for his friendship. He was a real mate to me. We were near more than brothers, we were real pals. And that's the greatest moment in Rock's life, was when he got saved. And I remember when Jenny got saved. She was only about 15 years of age. And then we were worried for Rock, went clean daft. He went clean wild after that. He near got jailed. But the Lord got him. And you know, maybe you're sitting here today and you know, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, Christ to know is life eternal. And I'm not here to grieve today. I'm here to celebrate Rock's life. I'm here with the joy in my heart, because I know he's in heaven. I know he's with the Lord. I have a great peace. And when I first went to the hospital, I had a great peace, because I know he's gone to be with the Lord. And I thank the Lord for his life, for the whole family. And I just pray God will bless each one. God bless you. Let me just share this verse. Sorry, Brother John. I forgot all about this. But this scripture was just my mind, and I don't want to take the time up, but it's John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. You know, I'm going to say this before I sit down. I heard a story, and I've been thinking about this story since Rocks went. And this is a story about a farmer. And this farmer robbed an eagle's nest. And the eagle had two eggs in the nest, and he stole an egg from under the eagle. And he come and he put the egg under a hen in his barnyard. And the hen hatched out the eagle. But that eagle was never a hen. And as the hen scraped and plucked about and sat up in the perches, it didn't work for the eagle. Because eagles weren't born to be caged up, they're born to fly. And one day, you know, that mother eagle knew she'd laid two eggs. And she came looking for that missing one, what was in that egg. And she gave a screech over that barnyard, and the wee eagle heard her. And he looked up, and the eagle hit the top of the coop. And it almost broke the farmer's heart, and he let the eagle go out of the cage, out of the coop. And it flew up to to be with the mother eagle into the heavens. Rock today is gone to be with the Lord. And this is just a suitcase. Your body's only a suitcase for the soul. But the soul is gone to be with the Lord.
Thank you, Tommy, for that lovely tribute to your brother. And Samuel now is going to come up, Samuel McKinstry, and say a few words. And then after that, Gary, cousin of Rambo, and then Gary's two young boys are going to do some readings, Isaac and Elijah. So, Gary, or Samuel, and then Gary.
On behalf of us all today, I want to thank each and every one for coming here today. I want to thank you all for your prayers and your thoughts and wee words of encouragement and wee stories along the way. And I, as maybe this, I know I've been introduced, but I'm Samuel and I'm the youngest brother of the family. And I was the one that tried out all the wrestling moves off. You know, when the wrestling come about, it was the worst thing ever happened. They'd done all the moves for me, I was the handy one to throw about. But I was just telling a story the other night, I remember. We're all clowning about one night up in the bedroom, and Rocky was there, and Aaron was there, and Matthew was there, and I said, right, Rock, we're taking you out, boy. And I gave off the top bunk and hit him around the neck. But I was only a wee squirt, like, I'm still not that big. I hit him around the neck, but Ernie, he came in and hit him on the side, like a rugby tackle move, and Matt hit him. I went back ways and I went clean out through the upstairs bedroom window. I was howling on them and I said, don't let me go, pull me back. And I was squinting, he got me pulled back into the house. But you know, and then he was always good at winding my dad up too, because he said then, right, Matthew, but what are you doing? Why, you're supposed to hold her up in here. And then my dad would shout, you boys need to lay down, I have to get up in the morning, you boys are racking about in there. But you know, he was the life and soul of the party, and like Tommy says, you know, we're not here today to mourn, really. Yes. If you're a born-again Christian, you've got a hope within you. Amen. But I want you to know today, what has happened here, in my opinion, is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call for everybody that's sitting on the fence. If you're sitting on the fence today, and you say, I can't be saved, I can't be a Christian, because I couldn't live that life. Well, I want you to know this man here, as only his body remains, is left here, but he's gone on to be with the Lord. But the life he lived was a demonstration that any man could be a Christian. Because like Tommy said, he wasn't cut from the normal mould. You know, you could have met Rock, anybody could have met him. But you know, he was good crack, and he enjoyed the fun. But you know, you wouldn't have been that long already with him until you realised that he was a Christian. But he could have told it to you in such a way that you wouldn't have went away. You know, people today, you know, you might even leave here today and say, that boy just preaching to us. That's what people say. But this is a wake-up call. There's a big man there, 50 years of age, as strong as any man I know. He was my hero. Him and my father was the two heroes in our house. Two strong men, everywhere you went. Are you a son of Billy McKinstry? He said, ah, yeah. Why do you want to know what your dad on? And then it would have been, are you a brother of Rock's boy? Ah, yeah. Hey, boy, you want to see what that man done? You want to see what he lifted? Either maybe somebody had said, the car was stuck in the hedge. You mind if I one night said the Volvo car, she went into the hedge and he came down the road and they were panicking. They don't know how to get a machine to get this joke out. Big Volvo, and he walked in behind her and he caught the tow bar and he just set the whole back of her out onto the road like a cork. But you know, that's what I'm saying today. The power that man had in the natural. But you can have all the power in the natural. But if you don't make a decision for Christ, when this day comes, you can step into a lost eternity. You know, don't take it offense to me today to say this to you, but that's the way I feel today. You know, it's a serious occasion. That you know, but it's a mighty thing that we have a hope within us. And I want to try and read a wee portion of scripture. You know, my wife, she laughed this morning for, I found this wee small Bible, and it actually belongs to you, Philip. Your name's on it. I don't know how I got it. But you know, I pulled this wee Bible open, and the writing's so tiny on it. And she said to me, I says, in the words of Rock, I vibes like an eagle. He used to get up and pull out, and he looked at it and would have been sort of thinking by that right. He's going, but no, we'll have a habit of saying by that right. He's off for small enough. Hey, they said, if I was like an eagle, when I nailed a rider, that's the way he would have put it. So I said to her this morning, by God's help and grace, I want to read Hebrews 13. And I want to read a couple of wee verses here. Hebrews 13 and verses 12. And maybe read down to verses 15. It says, wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Do you know, Rock, the time of my dad's funeral and all, we were going about, and of course you're, you know, you might think that while he's up there, it's not affecting, but you know, it'll affect you when you're maybe not. You know, but if you've got the Holy Ghost within you, it helps you. There's something within you that helps you. He says, by him therefore let us go, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I want you to know today, and I'm sure anybody that come in contact with the big man would have known that. And I remember going with him, and a couple of our men went up to the northwest and found out tracks on the street, and a bit of a witness. And you know, people walked in, oh, look at them boys out on the street. But don't take offence at that today. You know, any Christian that pastor says something to you is for your own good. It's for your own good, because we have a hope within us. When you're a born-again Christian, you have a hope within you. You know, I had a wee conversation with a man the other day, and I said to him, how would you face grief, or how would you face anything without Christ in your life? To think that this was the end. But today, you know, we have got a hope within us that make us sure. And I want to just thank each and every one today. Thank you for your prayers and your continual support. And I know it will not be easy in the days that lie ahead. Got God on our side, and I want to thank God that I had a brother like that, a role model to look up to. You know, he's a role model in the natural, and he's a role model in the spiritual. I just thank each and every one of you.
Thank you, Samuel. Those words, it's just wonderful, the memories that the family have, seeing through these tough times. Gary's going to come down and say a few words, and then Isaac and Elijah are going to do a few readings. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. Samuel, I too have a little Bible with me today. It's maybe not quite as old as yours. Not as old as Philip, but it's 30 years of age, believe it or not. I got it when I was 10 years old. And I just trust today, I really hope that each of you today have an experience unlike any other experience you've had before while you've been at a funeral. You know, Tommy said that Ian wouldn't want us moping about, doing and looking, because Ian was one of the most victorious people I knew. And he was brave and he was fearless. And one of the first scriptures that come to me when I heard the sad news was how the mighty fall. Yes. And I thought of David's lament over his friend Jonathan and his father Saul. They said they were swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. And you know, anybody, I would say most people here today, one thing that we all have in common, we all knew Rock because of his strength. He was a mighty man. There's no doubt about that. Some of us know him because of his strength in the flesh, and some of us, more importantly, know him by his strength in the faith. And that's important. I'm a cousin of Ian's, not a blood brother, but a cousin, but I'm a blood brother in the Lord, because we've both been purchased by the same blood, and we both share the same Heavenly Father. And while I was thinking, it was very, because Ian was a great encourager to me, and it's one of the things that everybody seems to be saying. He left behind a testimony that he was an encouragement. You know, Ian was great at encouraging people, because even in a dark time, and even in a time like this, he had the ability to make you laugh. And I think it's only further, I would share with you a little story before reading this psalm. I want to read this today, but you know, it's one that always stuck with me. I heard it years ago, and you know, Ian was a fearless guy. fear of man brings a stir in your life. But Ian just plowed through stirs, no fear at all. He was working on a building site, and at tea time, the boss on the site hadn't really met any, didn't know him very well, but still down for the tea. And this man just was used with saying jump and people saying how high. And when he came into the tea, Rap was sitting and eating his lunch, and he said to Rap, "Go out to my man while I get my lunch." And Rap, he never said that, and Rap, he went out, and about 15 minutes later, he came back in, the bike was all across, he touched the dog. Well, now you get it, did but it was quite tasty. Something in the inside, working on the outside, and it always manifest. And had a great day with him many times, without witnessing with him on the street. And he wasn't a Ponzi. Sure, one thing to have a bit rap, he was no sissy, but he was very bold. And he went and approached some fellas, and you know, some people are very hostile when you go to mention and see, and people think of Christianity, it's doom and gloom, and there's no brightness. But if you ever read Rap, Christianity's not like that at all. He had something that was real, and something that he was happy to be in, and something he was glad. He was so passionate about it that he loved to share it. And I think that's wonderful. When you're really truly saved and you have a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to share it. I can never understand a Christian who says they love the Lord and they don't want to tell people about him. Something wrong with the relationship. Can you imagine if you loved your wife and you never told her you loved her? It wouldn't be a very good relationship, would it? Rob used to love telling people, but this is one of the things they done. I wouldn't advise you to try it, but this is the type of thing that Rob could have done. If somebody come up and they're being a bit hostile, he says, "I tell you what, boy, we'll go fair digs." He says, "You take the first shot." He says, "Well, do you know what? I'll even turn the other cheek." But he says, "After that, I'm not required to do anything else, so you take the chance if you want." So he didn't have to say it to you twice, but no, he was powerful. Many times I've seen him. He had a video on his phone one time of squatting, what was the British record at that time, on the squatting bar. It was like the bar was loaded out and hanging out over, you know, and Rocky would maybe be talking to people, and they think that man's writing us up, he's telling lies, you know, because it was quite unbelievable. The things they'd done was really quite unbelievable. The next thing he would pull it up on the phone, and there's Rock squatting away, and this big weight. You see, as soon it was like somebody going fishing with a bait on the hook. And as soon as he got the reading, then he could hold their attention, and then he could say anything at all, and they could witness away to them. You know, I'm going to read a psalm this morning, and I think it's fitting, and I really trust this morning that this funeral service will be like none other that you've ever met, because we today are not sorrowing as those that have no hope. We have a hope. Our blessed brother's not dead. He used to quote the line of the song, "I'll never die, I'll be promoted." And that's what's happened today, praise God. And let me read this psalm, 149, a few verses of it. "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a temple and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand." And I think Brother Rock, when I read that, because he had a loud voice, he loved to rejoice. He used to pray in the prayer meeting, "Forgive me, Lord, for not praying loud enough. I'm not praising you loud enough." You know, he really wanted to praise the Lord. And it was wonderful, you know, because even as with people have been saying before, how he comes to the meetings and he would pray for his family, bless us all. And you know, that's what I think, there's nothing better that a parent can do than pray for his children. It's the greatest thing he can do, and he loves us all very much. I know you know that. And I was thinking just of the really admiring Jenny, because Rock was such a strong man, and it was only fitting that he got such a strong wife. And over these last days, she's been a real pillar. And it's very fitting for Brother Ian, and such a strong man, he's such a strong woman. And the Lord bless us all today, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to speak to you. And it's just wonderful. Brother Rock was a real friend to me, and encouraged me many times. And I'm glad to say it, but he's also my brother in the Lord. And I'm going to meet him again. Brother Rock, I'll meet you in the morning. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Gary. There's lovely words. The boys are going to come up now, Isaac and Elijah, and share a few greetings. Thank you.
has said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Thank you, boys, and thank you to everyone who has taken part thus far. Folks, just as we bring our service to a close, of three short readings I want to leave with you. Only the word of God can really give us strength on an occasion like this. First reading is Psalm 23, well-known words written by King David, which comforts so many during times of sorrow. David writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters, he restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David writes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My second reading is John's Gospel, chapter 14. Verses 1 to 6 again, well-known words spoken by the Savior. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, but how can we know the way? Maybe you're asking that question today. How can you know the way to heaven? Jesus says in verse 6, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then verse 27 of John 14, the Savior states, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then my third and final reading is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 68. The Apostle Paul says this, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Rocco has now finished his course. Kept the faith. Verse 8, Paul states, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and to the preaching of his word. Folks, I think we would all agree this morning that our lives are full of ups and downs, trials, difficulties, and blessings. Our lives are short. Our lives go in so quickly. And word loves to tangle the weeks, the months, the years of our lives. Somebody once said, the year of your birth and the year of your death and the little line in between, the dash, that is your life and that is my life. And Rocco's life consisted of three parts, and that's what I want to speak about very, very briefly as we bring this meeting to an end. First of all, I want you to realize this, that at one time, Rocco McKinstry was outside of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? One time, Rocco McKinstry was outside of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says, doesn't it? For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. The Bible says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Men and women, today the Bible clearly teaches that before conversion we are dead in our sin. Before conversion we are blinded by the God of this world. We are living our own way. We are doing our own thing. Rockwell at one time was outside of the Lord, like many of us today, myself included. The Bible clearly teaches that we are born sinners. Listen to David, Psalm 51 and verse 5. He says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David, all the great Bible characters, David, John, Paul, Zacchaeus, Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, they were all the same. They'd all sinned. They'd all broken God's law. They were all under God's wrath. We even think of the great Apostle Paul. Many of you will know before his conversion, he persecuted the church. He consented to the death of Stephen. Paul had no time for Christianity. But one day Paul met the Lord and his life was changed forever. You can read about that in Acts chapter 9. Paul experienced salvation. He experienced the forgiveness of his sins, the love of Christ, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and the miracle of salvation. The Apostle Paul went everywhere preaching the gospel that it changed his life. And Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And that was the motto of Rocco's life, to live for Jesus Christ. Sadly, as I travel our province doing the work of an evangelist, there's so many today outside of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's somebody gathered in the church even this morning. There's multitudes of individuals, and they have no thought of eternity. They have no thought of death. They have no thought of God. They have no thought of accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. They never think they're going to die. They think they're going to live forever. But Rocco's sudden death reminds us all, doesn't it? That life is brief. Life is borrowed. To think that this time, last week, that Rocco was full of health and strength. Men and women, we all need to be ready for eternity. We will all go the same way as Rocco. We will all be in a coffin one day if the Lord Jesus tarries. And I trust that you're ready. This was your service. I trust that you're saved. I trust that you're right with the Lord. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this comes the judgment. The Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God." We even think of Nicodemus in John 3. He was outside of Jesus Christ too. Sure, many of you know the story well. He was a religious man. He was a respectable man. He was a self-righteous man. But the Lord Jesus told him, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. If you ever want to be in the kingdom of God, you must have a spiritual birth. You must be born again." Even John Newton was the same, wasn't he? A sinful man, a blasphemer. John Newton met Jesus Christ and his life was changed forever. He penned that wonderful hymn that we all love singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." It's wonderful to be saved today. I first met Rocco a few years ago when I had the tent mission there up the road, the Cullen Park Road. And Rocco came along and he was such an encouragement. And I actually met him first time in a wee caravan as some of his family were getting saved. And we were on our knees together. Oh, he was so thrilled. And he was so, so delighted. I remember when he was preaching at the tent, all of a sudden I heard this man shouting, "Glory and hallelujah and amen," and preaching, "Brother." And I thought to myself, there's somebody listening. Usually when you preach, maybe people fall asleep. But this brother, oh, he was full of encouragement. He was full of enthusiasm. And he was a great encouragement to me in my ministry. Anytime I was up at this part of the world, he even came to missions within in Lisburn. He was a man of faith. And as already been mentioned, Rocco knew how to pray. And I was reading some of the tributes on Facebook about him. But this tribute sums Rocco up. Somebody penned or put on the computer, "He was a larger-than-life character. He was courageous, he was bold, he was kind, and loved the Lord with all of his heart. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints." And that sums up the Rocco that I knew. He prayed for all of his family. As I mentioned in the home this morning, he wanted all of his family to be saved. And if there's any of the family here today not saved, Rocco was praying for you, that you would be saved. He loved Jenny very, very much, and they were married for 27 years, and they'd known each other in total for over 34 years. And Jenny was telling me yesterday in the home they met when she was just 13. Rocco was always the same, he never changed. He worked hard for his family. His main job throughout the years was a pastor, but he also drove heavy machinery. Rocco had a passion for souls, didn't he? You know that. He probably witnessed this to maybe you today. Maybe he gave you gospel tracts, gave you CDs, invited you to missions. He was always trying to bring people to a mission. He used to tell me, John, I'm trying to get this one to come to the mission. I'm trying to get the other one to come to the mission. The man with a passion for souls. I know again that God's people in these last days have got a passion for souls. Because there's people perishing all around us. He was an elder in the Omega Fellowship Church and part of the church since it began in 1994. He went to Port Rush every year with different teams to share the gospel. He rang me too to tell me that he'd become a grandfather. And I know how much he loved little George. And I was asking about his nickname. Where did his nickname come from? And Tommy was telling me that there was a wrestler called Mark Rotorball Rocco in the 1970s, 1980s. And that's who he is named after. And I used to keep him going. I used to say, Rob, I would need you around the doors with me as sharing the gospel, because when they seen a big fella like him, you wouldn't have got any hassle. Is that right? See a wee man like me, you know, people call you all sorts of things, but if you drop it with you, it was a totally different. But he loved the Lord. At one time, folks, listen, he was outside of Jesus Christ. But secondly, Rocco McKinstry, at one time in his life, was in Jesus Christ. The day he got saved, as Tommy mentioned, all that changed his life forever, didn't it? That's what the Bible says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son, listen, hath everlasting life. Not wonderful? Hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in heaven. Rocco accepted the Lord as his Savior in 1991. Tommy had that privilege of pointing him to Jesus. When a person meets Jesus Christ, they're different. Have you ever met him? Your testimony today? If not, why today put your trust in it? And you could be ready too for heaven. Rocco never forgot that day. There was great rejoicing in the family, and Rocco took God at his word. Romans 10 and 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If Rocco was giving his testimony today, he would say, only a sinner, saved by grace. He would say, only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be all the glory. He would say, only a sinner saved by grace. Rocco could now say like David, the Lord is my shepherd. As we close, watching the clock, the Lord's here, isn't he? We can sense his presence. This is a wee bit different than maybe most funeral services you attend. Because Rocco had a wonderful testimony. As we finish then, one time Rocco was outside of Jesus Christ. One time Rocco was in Jesus Christ. And here my last point as we finish. Today, Rocco McKinstry is with Jesus Christ. He is with Jesus Christ. When he took his last breath on Saturday, folks, he entered into the presence of the Lord. The Lord took him home. David penned in verse 4 of Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We read, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord told the dying thief, today you will be with me in paradise. The family can take comfort today that Rocco's not lost. He's with the Lord, which is far, far better. I look forward to seeing him in the kingdom of God. And I trust that we'll see you in the kingdom of God. If you ever want to see Rocco McKinstry again, you must be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Three parts, very quickly, of the life of Rocco McKinstry. At one time, he was outside of Jesus Christ. At one time, he was in Jesus Christ. That day he got saved. Now today, Rocco McKenstry is with Jesus Christ. May God bless these few simple thoughts to all of our hearts. And can I say today, if there's somebody here, and maybe you've been thinking about getting saved, maybe you've questions, maybe there's things you're not sure about, come and speak to us. Come to your home. We'll do everything that we can to help you. We want to see people saved. We want to see people in heaven. Because there's only one life and it will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ is going to last. Thank you for your wonderful attention. May God bless you richly. We're going to stand there and sing our closing hymn. Let's really sing it from the bottom of our hearts. Another favorite of Rocco's. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. And then after we sing this closing hymn, just remain standing as the coffin then is removed from the ground. That's something. Thank you. Would you be free from your burden of sin?
Thank you, Lord, is with you today. We
thank you for your promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And again, we pray for those in the gallery not saved, outside of Christ, no hope, no salvation. Lord, we pray that even today the angels in heaven may rejoice, even over a sinner that repents. Maybe even somebody here that's backslidden, prodigal son, prodigal daughter. Lord, we pray that they'll get back to their first love. Just be with us now as we go to the cemetery. In your name we pray. Amen. Just remain standing again. The confidence.